You're listening to Radio Influence.
When you are looking for the best Bucs coverage, why not go to someone who's actually been on the field?
B-U-C-C-A-N-E-E-R-S. Go Bucs!
This is the only podcast for the Buccaneers by a Buccaneer. You are in the trenches with former Buccaneers offensive lineman Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to In the Trenches. I named this podcast In the Trenches because that's where games are won and lost. And if you're a Buccaneer fan, you saw another game that was lost up front, because you could have the best quarterback and the best receivers, but if you're not running the ball well, if you're not rushing the passer, if you're not making noise up front, you don't win football games. And we're not that good up front. Everybody kept on talking about, or they keep on talking about, the weapons that we have, you know, at wide receiver and tight end, and they're starting to show up a little bit. But it's time for us to start taking over some games as an offensive line and start running the ball down some people's throats. And it's time for us to start taking games over from a defensive line standpoint. We have people that are making a lot of money up front on a defensive line. Not one, two, maybe three guys that we go through a whole game and not hear their name. And, you know, that's not how you win. You win by putting quarterbacks on the ground, not by getting rushes, not by getting pressures, not by hitting a quarterback after he delivers the football. You got to get to the quarterback, and you got to get to the – football is about stats, okay? If you're not getting pressures and getting sacks on quarterbacks, every quarterback in the whole entire football league is going to absolutely obliterate you. And every quarterback that we've played this year has gotten to us. I don't think we've really dominated a quarterback yet this year. I don't think a quarterback has struggled against the Buccaneers to this point. I'm thinking – the top of my head, our defense is not really built that way. It's unfortunate. But you build a football team from the inside out, and you win football games from the inside out, and the Bucs aren't that great from the inside out at this point. Now, speaking about in the trenches, I got to give somebody some love. Joe Thomas, the left tackle for the Cleveland Browns, tore his tricep yesterday. And why is this relevant? I'm not a Cleveland Browns fan, although I'm a fan of longevity and people that have a lot of nuts, so to speak. And Joe Thomas will end his streak. He played 11 straight years, or he was into his 11th year, with 10,363 consecutive offensive plays without missing a snap. Now, I played quite a few years. That number is real high. Like, I can't even fathom. To play one season and play every snap is a big deal. In my ninth season with the Philadelphia Eagles, I played every snap, and that took everything it had in me to do. He did that every single year. So I got to give love to Joe Thomas. I don't know whether he plays again, but the guy's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, Big Ten kid like myself, went to University of Wisconsin. And like I said, don't know if his career is over. I got a funny feeling we'll see him again next year. But you got to start reevaluating things when you're getting towards the end of your career. Now, looking, we know Jameis yesterday started, he's never missed a start in his whole career, whether it be pros, college, high school, doesn't matter. He's never missed a start. So the lights were on and Jameis was there. It's good that we have a young quarterback, that we know the future of this team. And I think we're still in good hands, although some of the pieces around Jameis are not complete yet. Jameis is not complete yet. He has a lot of work to do. But when you look around the NFL, you saw Carson Palmer broke his arm yesterday. He's got to be thinking about retirement, because he was thinking about retirement in last offseason. Eli Manning just doesn't look like he gives a crap anymore. He had 39 attempts yesterday, had 139 yards passing. I mean, he doesn't have a lot around him. I understand that, but when nothing's around Eli Manning, nobody looks worse. He just looks like he doesn't give a crap. And it just seems like we're going through a changing of the guards. Andy Dalton, the Bengals don't win. And I don't know. He got paid two or three or four times, and okay, that's fine. But boy, at the end of it, you're going to go, God dang, we pay a lot of money for a dang average dude. You can't get rid of an Andy Dalton because you can't, you won't bring in somebody better. That's just the odds of it. But man, he's just been average over there. Cincinnati's been average to below average for a long time. And it just seems that's what they are. And they just, even when they're good, it seems like they're average good. You know what I mean? It's odd because they never make any noise. Phillip Rivers again towards the end, although he still plays okay football. I don't think he has a whole lot more in him. Ben Roethlisberger, I think, is on his last legs. Joe Flacco, I don't know, he hasn't played good football in a while now. And Andrew Luck is getting to a point now where I don't even know why people keep on saying he's a great quarterback because, I never see him play. And when he plays, he gets hit a lot, and he's fragile, and that's not really what being a great quarterback's all about. So we're in good hands with Jameis. Jameis, once again, got knocked out of the last game. You have never seen that before. Came back and played, and I appreciated his grit. Got hit around a little bit in the game, but showed his toughness. Now, it's still to a point with a shoulder injury, without a shoulder injury. I'm going to talk about his accuracy because if you talk about accuracy, that's not really about the shoulder injury because Jameis was overthrowing the ball quite a bit yesterday. So he had the arm strength. And if you look back at the season, Jameis has really been off quite a bit, especially on the long ball. He's left a lot out there. He's left a few. You've seen Sims streaking. We've seen DeSean Jackson quite a few times. It's just a little off on that long ball. If you put a few of those long balls and you complete them, the whole football game's different. He has 6 fumbles this year, which is a lot of fumbles. He hasn't lost any, but when you fumble the ball, that's you can't get that down back and usually lose yards. So there's a few things that Jameis is doing right now that just is not what you want to see, and this should be his one. This should be his year coming out, his year to start getting things. And I'm still seeing some really poor decisions out there. There was a couple more interceptions out there that could have happened yesterday. And just the decision-making in general, I'm just you can't be happy with. But, you know, when you look at that football game, was it offense? Was it defense? I don't know. Just in general, this football team they don't have stoppers. They don't have, like, when a great team is in trouble, there's always somebody they can depend on, okay? The Bucs don't have that, like, and the great teams do, and it could be your quarterback. I mean, obviously Tom Brady, you have Tom Brady in a pinch. Tom Brady's a guy you could, you know, depend on. Jameis Winston is not that quarterback yet. Maybe one day. In college he was, but it ain't right now. And when you're seeing your new quarterback, Patrick Murray, come in there and kick a 51-yard field goal, and when you score a bunch of points against a really good defense, you expect to win those games. But the Buccaneers are figuring out so many damn different ways to lose games. Now, you win and lose games, you always hear people say the little things, all right? These are little things. Lavonte David comes on a blitz. Lavonte David is one of our better players. He comes on a blitz, okay? All he has to do is seal the quarterback inside, and we get a sack. He gets deked outside, quarterback breaks contain, and it's a completed pass. Now, that's a great defensive call, and just a little minor thing. And it's not a minor thing. If you have contain, you got to damn well have contain, period. So those little things are starting to drive everybody's nuts. Now, there's a few players out there that just don't look like they're prime time. Donovan Smith, and I've been talking about him for a while, and I've always said, listen, he's a young football player. You got to give him time. He's going to get better. He's staying about the same. Okay, he's been in the league a long time to be making some of the bonehead mistakes that he's making at left tackle. Left tackle is a very important position. Footwork is terrible. Hand placement is terrible. Getting penalties, not because a defender makes a great move, he's getting penalties because his hand placement is just terrible. You know, falling on guys, he looks lazy out there. And you got to start thinking about the future of Donovan Smith because left tackles, obviously, you can't pluck out of the air. You don't just go out and find a left tackle. There may not be a starting left tackle in the draft next year. They just don't come. They don't grow on trees. You just can't stick anybody out there because there's going to be a fiend on the other side. So it's hard. That's a tough position. But it's getting to a point now where I think this is as good as he's going to get. And he's below average. It's nice to have above average left tackle. You know, when the Bucks played way back when, we had Paul Gruber that started over there for 11 years. And now Donovan Smith, I mean, he can't hold Paul Gruber's jock. And he's just making bone. He's just an unaware football player. And what I'm seeing out there is there's a lot. The Bucks have a lot of unaware football players. Like, your instinct is not something that your coach can, you know, teach you. You got to feel things. And the great football players that I ever played against, they felt everything. And what I'm seeing, it seems like every defense was, every offense doing the same thing. They're running the little fake play action. They're booting the quarterback out. And he has all day. Great teams, they take one step. They try to boot him one way. They head back towards the quarterback, and they're on it. It just doesn't seem like instinctively we're on top of that. The Bucs have the fewest sacks in the NFL. I mean, that's a pretty relevant statistic now. It's not like, you know, everybody's coming out here and just running the ball down our throat either. People are throwing the ball a lot against the Buccaneers. And we have the fewest sacks in the NFL. Gerald McCoy yesterday, like literally, I watched the game twice, he literally didn't make a play. Literally. Baker, I think, made one play. Golston, I saw getting wrecked on the regular. I don't know what's going on with Golston, but he ain't the same player he was. I'm seeing guys getting pushed back. I ain't seeing no type of dog or nobody up front. And Buffalo, if you listen to McCoy coming into the game, Buffalo was coming into the game saying, we're definitely running the ball at this team. This team can't stop us. Why do you think they believe that? Because they watch film, and just the Bucs are not that impressive on film. Not only are the Bucs not impressive on film, but the Bucs aren't that impressive in person either. Because, I mean, they're not getting after anybody. Now, offensively, I thought Dirk Koetter did a better job of calling plays as far as a couple trick plays here and there to get O.J. Howard open. And listen, the kid's starting to grow up a little bit. Okay, tight end's a tough position just to jump into and learn, because it doesn't look that difficult, but there's a lot of different defenses to read, and there's a lot out there. There's a lot of physicality, too. He's starting to get the game. And I'm not talking about these long misdirection plays. That's not being a tight end. That's anybody can run that route. I'm talking about the normal, within a normal offense, O.J. Howard's starting to pick his game up, and he's starting to understand a little bit more. I think he's physical enough to be great in this game. And before it's over, if he stays healthy, he'll be a great football player. If he stays healthy, you don't want to be too premature with that. The one thing the Bucs always have to fall back on is Jameis Winston and Mike Evans are always on the same page, it seems like, when there's a broken play and they got a touchdown from that in the corner of the end zone. Unbelievable throw, unbelievable catch, great feat by Mike Evans. They replayed it, but he drug his foot. But that's an important part of this game. If you watch the quarterback for the Bills, running around, he's not really a runner. He's trying to get himself out of trouble, which is what Jameis does as well. But he pulled it down and run a little bit more than Jameis did. And then that helped him, no doubt. But Jameis Winston and Mike Evans, they have a rapport, no doubt. Yesterday, DeSean Jackson surfaced as the guy that we thought he could be. Now, there was a 50-something yard pass that was taken back because your boy Donovan Smith was just being a lazy lug on the left-hand side on a very average rush and got a holding penalty. But DeSean, to me, still has that ability and capability to get those 200-yard gains. It hasn't happened yet, but I see it out there. And Jameis is getting closer. He ain't there yet. He's not there yet. Now, I was always a fan of Richie Incognito, who was playing against the Bucs yesterday for the Bills. Richie Incognito, if you remember the whole story with Richie Incognito in Miami, was bullying his tackle, allegedly, and lost his job for that, by the way. Like, I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I'd never even heard the word bullying before, and might not ever hear it again. And everybody kind of blackballed Richie Incognito. And I remember being on the air at the time on 620. Everybody's like, let's stay away from this guy. And I'm thinking to myself, so you want to stay away from an offensive lineman with a lot of attitude and that will punch you in the face. And if you really look at the story closely, the Miami Dolphins coaching staff literally went up to him and said, toughen that guy up. You don't want that guy in your locker room? Well, since that incident, Richie Incognito has played Pro Bowl football since then. And I begged for him to come to the Buccaneers. Begged. We could still use Richie Incognito because we still don't have any attitude. I heard Sweezy was that player. I haven't really seen it yet. Other than that, up and down, I'm not seeing a whole lot of dogs. The running game is average. It's not really scaring anybody. And we don't have an identity offensively. We don't have an identity. What are we falling back on? Like, when you talk about the end of a game, we have to say, okay, the Bucs are a hell of a running game. They're going to finish this game. Or the Bucs can rush the passer. They're going to finish this game. Or the Bucs can always stop the run. Do you see how quickly Buffalo scored? I mean, the Bucs go up 7 points. There's 4 minutes left in the game. The Bucs are up by 7 points with 4 minutes left in the game. Way back when, remember when Monty Kiffin was our defensive coordinator? That game's over. That game is over. You are not driving the ball 80 yards on the old Buccaneers when they were great. I didn't look at the time, but it couldn't have been more than four plays, 1 minute. One long play and a couple, and the play that McCoy scored on, the 7-yard play, if you tape the game like I tape it, and I tape it, and I watch it over and over, I watch it twice already, I'm going to watch it again. Go back and watch the 7-yard touchdown run by McCoy to win the game for them or to tie it up at 27. It looked like the Buccaneers defense was almost conceding the touchdown. I don't know if they were tired. I don't know if they got surprised by the count. But they were playing, this is the 7-yard line. They're playing on the goal line. Both of the defensive tackles, which had been McCoy and maybe Baker, they were almost lined up on the offensive tackle. So there was nobody in the middle of the field. They run a draw, and McCoy didn't get touched. So on that one, I got to question coaching, or I just don't understand what they were trying to get accomplished. But there's some things out there that need to be taken care of real quick. And I hear people try to ask for people's heads. Well, this guy needs to be benched. There's only one problem. When you bench somebody, there's somebody behind that person that's not as good as them. I mean, there's politics only go a certain way. You know, if Donovan Smith's our left tackle and he's been that way for a lot, there's nobody better than him behind him. So you can sit him down, but it ain't quite that easy. And we just have to improve as a whole, little things. There's big things, too. Now, Humphreys fumbling at the end of the game, it's unacceptable. At that time of the game, tied with that much time, and you're not trying to get a first down. You're just trying to get three irrelevant yards. Boy, you ball up like you're in a cocoon, and you go down, and you make sure you have that football. You cannot fumble the football in that situation. Not that situation. You just fumbled away the game. So it's unacceptable. And that's what they're going to say in meetings. They're going to go, Humphreys, unacceptable. If you want the ball at the end of the game, we gave you a chance to make a play, and you gave the game away. So it doesn't matter whose name is in there. That's unacceptable. And there's too many things that are happening around that are unacceptable. Some people not showing up. I think our toughness in general is almost nil. And if you go back and watch the game, watch what a Buccaneer running back runs towards the sideline, what he does. Well, watch what he does. Buccaneer running backs dive out of bounds almost. They don't want it. That's, you know what? That doesn't go no damn where. It doesn't. I understand it's 2017. These guys are trying to preserve themselves. But I watch other teams with attitude, and they don't step out of bounds for squadooch. They're putting their helmet down, and they're teaching some lessons. Adrian Peterson still doesn't step out of bounds, and he's old as hell. But when I'm watching Doug Martin diving out of bounds, just to not, that drives me nuts. I actually watched Levante David get straight-armed in his face by quarterback. I mean, come on now. We can't let quarterbacks straight-arm us, and that's toughness. So as toughness goes, this Buccaneer team doesn't have it. I'm going to tell you one name of a guy that appears tough out there is Beckwith. And regardless who's healthy or not, you got to put this Beckwith kid in the game. I mean, he's leading all rookies in tackles, which is a good thing. But this kid seems to be everywhere. Okay, and the whole game wasn't terrible. Hargraves, I thought, played better. That's for sure. But he couldn't have played much worse than he'd been playing in the past few games. Like, I mean, Dirk Cutter questioned Hargraves and he challenged him a little bit. And you could tell he was playing with a little chip on his shoulder, but it's about time that chip comes because it's deep into the football season and you shouldn't need a coach jumping all over you to get you a little fire going. So it was good to see Hargraves wake up a little bit. Now, the Buccaneers are 2-4. You don't go to the playoffs when you're 2-4. Not when you don't have anything to fall back on. And the Buccaneers are still trying to develop whatever they're going to turn into. But you got to go 8-2 the rest of the season. You still haven't played not one team in the South yet. That's 6 games. You could lose 2 more games. So if you're a betting man, I wouldn't bet on the Buccaneers right now. Hopefully they don't listen to anything I say or anything you say or what the paper says. And they go out there and they do it. And all you got to do is win one game and crazy things happen. I mean, look at, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville wins a couple games and they lose a couple games. Now they look like, I mean, the Jacksonville Jaguars had 10 sacks yesterday. 10. The Buccaneers have 7 sacks for the whole season. So that says a little bit about, you know, discrepancy and rushing the passer and the situations going on. It doesn't matter who's back there at defensive back. When you got defensive linemen that are just crushing the quarterback, boy, it makes it real easy to play a defensive back. It's impossible to play defensive back for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. And you can see the frustration of some of those guys out there because quarterbacks are standing back and they're comfortable and they're out there slinging it and they're winging it. So it definitely doesn't get any damn easier. We got to play the Panthers. Then we got to play the Jets, who don't look that damn bad. And then the Saints in New Orleans. I said this before the show. I make my prediction every week on 102.5 before the game. And I said, until the Buccaneers show me they're good enough to beat anybody on the road, I don't think they can do it. And I just don't. Right now, I just don't think they're good enough to beat anybody on the road. There's a reason why it's a 3-point difference in Las Vegas when you play on the road. It's tough. You got to travel. You're going to be in a foreign place. You're not going to be quite familiar with the locker room. There's a lot of different things. But the Bucs just aren't right now good enough to beat anybody on the road. And, you know, I love Buccaneer fan that looks and they go, oh, the Panthers lost. And who gives a crap? The Bucs are 2-4. Who doesn't matter? Right now, it doesn't matter who loses and who wins in the South. It really doesn't. Because we ain't doing squat. At the end of the year, at this pace, you're 5-11. Yay. Where you be? What did we accomplish? You took a step back. So right now, if you're a Buccaneer fan, you know, to improve from last year probably is not going to happen at this point. And all the aspirations of playoffs will go by really quick. If I'm not positive they didn't go by this week, because we've lost a couple games in a row as games that if you think you're a playoff team, you should beat Arizona and you should beat Buffalo. They're not dogs by any means. But if you think you're a playoff team, those are the type of teams that you're going to have to beat. And it'll be sick to your stomach if the Bucs do go on a little run at the end and you look back at some of these games. But it's not like the Buccaneers deserve to win these games. Because sometimes you lose games despite playing well. That's not the case for the Buccaneers right now. If you look at them statistically, the Bucs are a 2-4 team. There's times you look at statistics, you're like, oh, we should have won this game. The Bucs statistically are a 2-4 team. That's it. And I think that's the way Dirk Cutter has to approach them. And I don't know if he's treating them like babies. I don't know if that's the way he does it. But maybe it's time to put a foot in a couple people's asses. You got to put a foot in a couple people's asses that think they're great. Okay, you know, greatness, you know, is something. Let somebody else tell you you're great. And I think maybe there's too many people on the team telling themselves that they're great. So I never questioned the work ethic of these guys before. But with the miscommunication that I'm seeing in the defensive backfield and just mistakes here and there, it doesn't look like a well-coached team as a whole this year, as a whole, because I'm seeing some things, especially defensively, that we're getting out coached and we're putting some of our football players in really bad situations. So, you know, this is on Dirk Cutter, the whole coaching staff as well. I hope to God they figure out a way to turn this damn thing around, because, you know, we had high expectations going into the season as Buccaneer fans, and I don't know where we are now, but it's definitely not where it started. And all the momentum that was built up last year and led into this season that you felt in the offseason, it's starting to waver a little bit. It's starting to go away. So the Bucks better start winning a couple games here before we start looking in those stands. And it looks like, I'm going to say the old days, but I mean last year. Okay, so there was a little bit of momentum built up, but sure feels like the momentum's going away, unfortunately. Well, if you guys, you know, every week I sit down here and I talk to you guys about football. I talk to you guys about the Buccaneers. If you guys have any questions for me, it's IanBeckles@RadioInfluence.com. I have another podcast, Flavor in Your Ear, where we talk a little politics. We talk a little bit of sports, some pop culture, a little bit of food, and some other things. And that's also on Radio Influence and iTunes and all the above. So let's hope to God this football season changes as we go forward. If you've been watching the NFL like I have, it's funky. You can't make predictions. You can't predict the whole rest of the Buccaneer season by the way they've looked the last 2 weeks, because there's ebbs and flows to everybody's season. And right now, it doesn't look good for the home team if that happens to be your team. But let's hope the Buccaneers get things done. And like I said, Dirk Cutter maybe needs to chew a little bit more ass and we figure out a way to get a couple victories, because it doesn't get any easier as we go forward. That's for sure. And the South is tough. Every team in there, they all look beatable. But the Bucs are in a situation where they can look at anybody and say, we should beat anybody, because they're looking at us saying that exact same damn thing. 2-4, hopefully the Buccaneers figure out a way to beat the Panthers, and I'll be back Monday. And hopefully in a more celebratory tone would be nice, because, you know, it's better to talk about wins and better to talk about how well players played and not players disappearing and, you know, not making good decisions. It feels a lot better. So let's hope the Buccaneers get that done next week. Everybody have a wonderful week. Enjoy this beautiful weather out here in Tampa, and be safe. Peace.
Follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles for all the latest on your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have been in the trenches with Ian Beckles on Radio Influence.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.